Okay, good morning. Let's start off with, there was this fat bloke. And he buys donuts on the way to work. Well, actually, I shouldn't really, okay. There's this overweight gentleman. Or maybe even that's a bit far. There was this person of a male gender who was horizontally challenged. And he was always known for taking donuts into work. So he turned up at work one day and he's got no donuts with him, which his co-workers, although he ate half of them, were a little bit disappointed about. And they sort of said, you know, what's going on? And he said, well, I'm doing the South Beach diet. He said, and I can't eat donuts anymore. So I've decided not to bring any into work. And everything goes fine for a couple of days. And then on the third day, the guy turns up at work again and he's got this big box of donuts. And they say to him, I thought you decided to go on the South Beach diet. What are you doing with a box of donuts? And he said, ah, well, when I woke up this morning, I just felt that the Lord might be leading me to have some donuts. So I said to the Lord, well, if there's a parking space outside the bakery, I know it's your will, Lord. He said, because you know that place where they sell the donuts, it's very difficult. You can never get a parking place there. And so that's what I said to the Lord, and I set out for work. And his co-workers, they said to him, well, you know, was there a parking place then? He said, oh, it was a miracle. Eighth time around the block, there was a parking space right out the front. If you want a message for this, if you want to write a title for the recording of this message, Steve, have it as Don't Eat Too Many Donuts. And the second part is Let God Arise. You know, we're all good, aren't we, at making God fit into our plans and then saying it was the Lord told me so. But what I want to just share with you this morning is this command, really, to let God arise. Because I don't know about you, it's one I struggle with. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, no, not really. Well, I'm going to let you think double about that. I mean, the problem with God is when you do allow God to rise, he messes your life up. You know, you can get to the situation, you don't really want God to rise. It's all nicely set out, thank you very much. Because you know if God comes along, everything gets... It's a bit like, you know, two brothers, the six-year-old brother and the three-year-old brother. And the six-year-old brother builds this gorgeous Lego model. And the three-year-old gets released from his afternoon nap, bursts into the room, and the Lego model is no more. Yeah, well, it's a bit like that with God. I'm not saying God's a three-year-old toddler, you understand here. But sometimes we've got everything just how we want. We've got our lives sorted, and God bursts in and turns everything upside down. Now, if you're smart, which you all are, okay, you probably spotted a link here between what's happening in our lives and what I'm talking about. And if you don't know, I'll get there in a minute. Kingdom faith, that's us. Just look at somebody else and say, that's us. Okay, we're kingdom faith. We have a vision from God, a commission from God, to see revival and transformation in the nation and the nations. There should be a very enthusiastic amen with that one. Okay? We don't want the world to continue in the way it's going. We know we have a commission from God to turn it around and go in the direction that's called Jesus. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And he commissioned a bunch of people to show people that that was the truth. And that's us. So we have this transformation mission. Well, for that to happen, God's got to rise up in us. Yeah. And that sometimes does mean the old building blocks get knocked out the way, you know. We are the people who are called to be the difference that makes a difference. Okay, and I want to talk to you this morning about how that happens. Because it's great having the vision. It's great getting built up. It's great getting the exhortation. But I just want to wrap it up in a little bit of how this morning. We'll have three whys, three why nots, and three hows, if that's all right. I know that makes 9 points, but don't panic because it's 20 to 11 already. And I've got another hour and a half. That's right, isn't it? You do go right the way through to 12:30, don't you? 1 o'clock, another half hour. Okay. God recently burst into Kate's and my life when we had everything sorted. You know, we were running J24/7. I was part of the church leadership team. Kate was the church secretary. When God burst in on the scene in the form of Pastor Colin Urquhart and said, we'd like you to consider this. This is just something we'd like you to think about. Could this be a possibility? He was very, very gentle. And what that was well, you go up to Yorkshire and lead the work up in Yorkshire. But you know, when we go and you're praying to send us out on the 1st of July, it's not Kate and I going to do something else. We go together. It's Kingdom Faith Church, Yorkshire. Okay, we all go. We go in what God has done amongst us, yes, but we go even in the present together. There's relationships I have with you guys that Kate has with you guys that we have together that will not be broken. We are determined to be Kingdom Faith Church in the nation. Why? Because it's part of that vision to see transformation in the nation. It can't all be done from Horsham, even though the climate's nice. And I will tell you, that was one of my biggest challenges in being sent to Yorkshire. It was, I like it here, the weather's good. And every time I see a weather forecast and it's 24 in West Sussex and 15 in Yorkshire, I sort of go, have a slight shiver already. But you know, it's called Let God Arise. Amen. Yeah, it's despite the weather. You might think, oh my goodness, that guy is shallow. But I'm talking about reality. It's often the little tiny things that bother us the most. There were some big things. There were things like, oh, I don't want to leave Daniel down here. He's got a vision to be worked. That's our son who's 18. Just finishing his A-levels. I don't want to leave him down here, you know, because he's got a vision to be in media. He wanted to work in London and things. But actually, it looks like he might well be coming to us to go to Scarborough University now. So God sort of sorts everything out. But whatever, you sort of surrender things, don't you? I just want to give you a little bit of a picture of what's going to be happening up there because you're part of it. Yeah? So Kingdom Faith in Yorkshire at the moment is two churches, really. It's a church based in Thwing in Lamplugh House, which has been the place really where everything started for Kingdom Faith up there. And then there's another church or a small fellowship in Scarborough. And God, the calling upon us as Kingdom Faith is to go up there and develop a work that's regional, that touches a nation, that touches the nations. Okay, so the first part I'll talk to you about is just going into Scarborough. Now, if you go to Scarborough, it is actually a stunningly beautiful place. It was just a coincidence that the 6 hours we spent in Scarborough, it was raining, there was a nasty stiff wind, and Daniel bought the first coat he'd bought for 7 years. That was just a coincidence. But it actually is stunning because I've seen the pictures that they took on the sunny day. And it's this absolutely outstanding Victorian, Edwardian, and older town because it's the oldest seaside resort in Britain. And then you've got two glorious golden beaches and this big headland that sticks out between the two beaches with Scarborough Castle on the top. And you know, Scarborough means the borough of Scar or the stronghold of Scar. Scar was a Viking that decided to settle in the area and say, right, this is my area. I'm in charge here. And for the same reason, the castle was built. And the Lord gave a word to me and Kate while we were seeking him out in Spain, because it's warmer than Yorkshire. And, well, we took a holiday. Which way do you go? Anyway. We're seeking the Lord out there, and all we can get is this picture of the castle. And a very obvious scripture, really, one that there was a naff song that really destroyed it. But the name of the Lord, and you'll know it if you've been around a few years, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. And God gave us this picture. You see, that castle will be symbolic of what he's going to do there in Scarborough. A stronghold which people will run to and be saved. They'll be saved from abuse, saved from sickness, saved from poverty, saved to a life with Jesus, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of love. Come on, give us a cheer. You're part of this. It's just awesome what God's going to do. But not only that, you see, the stronghold isn't just a place to hide out in. When you put the castle on the hill there, it was to say, this area belongs to, in our case, the Lord. Yeah. And God is going to build a church there that is a beacon of light to the region. Yeah, that's right. I mean, full of a people who are not just praying for revival, but know that God is in them and are living out that life and thereby transforming the society around them. Yeah. Okay? At Lamplugh, the other word that God's given, which I think is a beautiful word, Lamplugh is called Lamplugh House. And there's a word in a scripture in Mark 2, verse 1. It just says this. Let me just read it to you. And it was heard that Jesus was in the house. That word is going to go out in that region. It was heard that that Jesus was in the house. Yes. People of Yorkshire, people of Northern England, wake up! Yes. Jesus is in the house! Yes. And there's going to be many things happening there as people come in. It's a fantastic place. You want a time away from God where it's absolute peace and quiet. It's single track roads only to Thwing, where Lamplugh House is. It's surrounded by a beautiful countryside in God's own county. And if you want a place away, well, that's what I'm told it's called. And that's, if you want a place away with God, come to a place where it's been saturated in prayer over many, many, many years. You'll hear God. You'll get the rest you need. It's a great place to come. Okay, so we'll be doing that kind of people bringing, leaders bringing their teams for weekends away. Conferences. All Pastor Colin's going to come up in October. So lots of excitement left. Pray for us, please. Because you're praying for yourselves. You're praying for our work in the nation. September the 23rd, a bit of a date picked out the air, really, is the date to restart or relaunch the church in Scarborough. Their last Sunday of meeting in Scarborough is next week. It's a very small church now, and it's time to stop and regather the troops at Lamplugh House, from which we will burst out. And it's planned that our sort of first known service in Scarborough, we haven't got a building, we don't know where we're going, we don't know what we're doing at all really, but we know the Lord's got the plan, is September the 23rd, and Clive's going to come up and help us launch the church. So keep that date in your mind as well, September the 23rd, so that we've got that place to meet right in the centre of Scarborough, because that church is called to influence a town. As this church is called, Kingdom Faith, is called to influence nations. Amen. Transformation and revival. Now, I said 3 points and I haven't even got to those yet. So what about this let God arise? If you've got a Bible with you, turn to Psalm 68. Don't eat too many donuts or you'll get fat. Let God arise. In other words, don't just do what your flesh wants. Let God arise. Psalm 68 says this, may God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him, as smoke is blown away by the wind, may you blow them away. As wax melts before the Lord, may the wicked perish before God, but may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God, may they be joyful and happy. Okay, may God arise, or let God arise. This is, I said, the challenge. But hang on a minute, may God arise. Why is it a challenge? Well, because it's not speaking to God. He can't arise anymore. He's not turning to Jesus and said, well, we've done really well this week, Jesus. Shall we get a pay rise? He's not walking around thinking, how can I be more successful? He can't be more successful. He's the ultimate success. So this word must therefore be speaking to the people of God. Let God arise in you. Now the excitement is in the next line. When God arises, his enemies are scattered. Okay, now 3 points. Why do you want God to arise in your life? Okay, I'll give you 3 points. First one, live the promise. Because when God arrives, it enables you to live the promise. Yep. This book is full of promises. Yep. There's promises in here of health. There's promises in here of prosperity. There's promises in here of freedom. How does that happen? You let God arise. Okay, there's one why. It's about taking new territory. It's about going from glory to glory. Yeah. It's about new things in God. Right. You know, Curtis and Josiah and Zamar. Selma. Excuse me a minute. We don't know one another. What's your name, sorry?
Selma.
Yeah. Selma. I come back over here now. You know, as Curtis, Josiah and Selma, they took a rather unusual step this morning. It's fairly unusual on a Sunday morning, fully dressed, to immerse yourself in a pool of water indoors. It's an unusual thing to do, unless you do that every Sunday morning. I don't know, maybe you do. Certainly not with your clothes on anyway, I hope. But they want, their statements were about letting God do something in their lives. They're saying, I want God to arise. Therefore, they're obeying the command that Jesus gave to get baptized. If you know Jesus and you're not baptized, his command is get baptized.
Yeah.
Yeah? If you don't know him, it's a wonderful step forward with him, and it's a command. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Curtis was a bit nervous out the back there today, weren't you? You were really nervous. I mean, why are you getting nervous about something as simple as that? Because it's a spiritual event that's going to make a difference in the rest of his life. And for Selma, and for Josiah. Okay, live the promise. Number two, live the victory.
Yes.
Because when God arises up in you, you will live the victory. Now, You're going to want the promises of God. Are you going to want the victory of God? Notice it says, may his enemies be scattered. What are his enemies? I've mentioned them in the promises. There can be things like sickness, poverty, abuse, that kind of stuff. There are also the things that come against you that oppose the will of God in your life. And sometimes that's what turns things upside down as well, because there can be friends in your life that are opposed to the purposes of God in your life. And sometimes friends get scattered. And you don't expect that. This is why letting God arise can be difficult. You see, the thing is, the enemies to the purpose of God that are in your life can be the very things you like. It's not just people or people being used. It can be films that you like. It can be the fact that you like to spend hours on the internet. It could be the fact that you're into particular computer games or even fast cars or something, and it's become an obstruction to the purpose of God in your life. You say, well, that's not sin. It's not sin to like those things, is it? It is if it's an obstruction to God in your life. Yeah? So live the victory. This is why I said I struggle with this one. I don't know about you. When it says let God arise, I struggle to let God arise because he might knock over some bricks that I like. I liked living in Horsham. Okay? There's plenty of other things that God's going to challenge me on. Maybe just things are popping into your mind even now where you're sitting thinking, oh, he doesn't mean that. Just listen harder. Live the victory, live the promise, and live the success.
Yeah.
Prosperity, success. God called you to success. Success in the workplace.
Right.
Success in your marriage. Success in your lifestyle. Success at whatever you put your hands to, actually. So why would anybody want to let God arise if there's a cost? Because you want to live the promise.
Yeah.
The promises are good. You want to live the victory, and you want to live the success. Amen? Is anybody with me on that?
Yes.
Anybody want victory?
Yes.
15. Anybody want victory?
Yes.
Okay, anybody want success?
Yes.
Anybody want prosperity?
Yes.
Okay, I changed the word. Cheated. Right, promise, victory, success. All right, three reasons then. So why doesn't it happen? What stops it in our lives? I'm going to give you three more reasons as to why. Because when we're living, when we're letting God arise, that's when we see transformation. Because we get comfortable where we are. You know, and God comes along and just says, all right, just a little bit of discomfort to prod us into the next thing. And do you know what? We get into the next thing and we find it was much better than before. You know, we think it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable to move. We're not too sure of the numbers on the map when it points to weather temperatures, but we do know it's going to be a lot more comfortable in the place God wants us. It's just our flesh is saying, I want donuts. I'll keep driving around the block till I see that God gives me the answer I want.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? But don't eat too many donuts. You're only getting fat.
That's right.
Yes.
And cholesterol, or whatever, anyway. I'm not a nutritionist. Anyway, three reasons why we don't. Are you ready for them?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't want to. Don't like it. Not bothered. They are the three reasons this nation doesn't see revival and transformation. I don't want it, I don't like it, and I'm not bothered. It is. I know that's a bit basic, but actually it's what it boils down to. As I was praying through this message, and sort of, okay, you know, you get this long list, and okay, yeah, it boils down to, don't want to, don't like it, not bothered. You don't want to because there's new territory to take that's a bit scary. You're like the Israelites in the desert not wanting to go into the promised land. Even though it was the promise of God and everything was the fulfillment for Israel, they didn't want it because there was a cost to going into the new territory. And every single person in this room, it's not like just Paul and Kate going to Scarborough I'm talking about. I'm not really talking about that at all. I'm talking about each one of us as part of Kingdom Faith Church recognizing there's new territory to take. There's new territory to take. And recognizing that with every human being, there is a reaction that says, I don't want to. All right? Unless you are a peanut, everybody in this... I don't think there are any peanuts in the room, not even M&Ms. Unless you are a peanut, your reaction to most of what God says, I don't want to. Because there's always an extra bit of effort. And we're lazy people. Aren't we? Now, naturally, can I... don't, well, you say, I'm not lazy. But I am. I have to stir myself up, yeah, or I'll just stay in bed. Me and John are in the same line of thought here. Okay, so you don't want to go... In the newspapers, you read all the time about kidults, don't you? People that don't want to grow up. The don't want to reaction is I don't want to grow up. I don't want to take on board extra responsibility. And yet, where you are, maybe it's in your home, maybe it's in the workplace, there's a call on us as Kingdom Faith to take on the responsibility of being a child of God.
That's right.
Yeah? No, I don't want to. It's just easy to go along with the crowd. Yeah? It takes effort to go from strength to strength. Okay, number two was... What was it? Don't like it. Okay. You like, if you're like me, routine. You say, well, I like a bit of adventure in the routine, but still basically our lives boil down to we do this, we do this, and then we do this. And again, it gives you a comfort. Yeah? Living on the edge leaves a line in your bottom. It hurts. Okay. You're going to go home with this message. What did he preach to us? He said, don't eat donuts and living on the edge hurts your bottom. Where's that in the Bible? We're called to be on the cutting edge.
That's right.
Don't take that any further. It means it's getting our lives into God's order. No wonder we don't like it. There's a cost. It's a bit like Curtis was saying. It's almost like this. I'm sorry, I'm picking on you, but you did just get baptized. And you did preach longer than me.
Yeah, oh, sorry, man. Yeah.
Sorry, sir. But it's like Curtis was saying. There's like restrictions, it felt like to him. It's not really restrictions. Those restrictions bring you into freedom, but there's a cost. We don't like it. But actually, it brings you to a much better place. Don't want it. Don't like it. Not bothered. Not bothered. Not bothered. Again, you're not bothered because it's going to cost you in time. It costs money to be a Christian. Because you're going to put your money into things that you think are right, that God leads you, rather than just spending on yourself like donuts. You might not be able to afford 24 donuts for the office and eat 12 anymore. But actually, it's going to do you a lot of good. Yeah? Of course, I'm not talking about an overweight gentleman in terms of physically overweight. That's why I went on the South Beach. It's about being fat and lazy in the spirit. And God wants to stir you up.
Come on.
And recognize that we all, and I include myself, struggle with let God arise because we all think, don't want him. Don't like it. Not bothered. I'm too busy, not bothered. You see, there's a danger. We have a revival mentality. You say, how can there be a danger in a revival mentality? You know, we've been praying for revival for 39 years. Or less. I'll tell you why. Because you can spend so much time praying and expecting God to do something, you forget that what he's done in you through baptism is enough to see this nation transformed. You are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We are a church called by God to transform the nation. And it's no good sitting around because, as I said, the cutting edge is a bit sharp. Let's get out there and see the difference. So we had three whys and three why nots. The three whys were live the promise, live the victory, live the success. The three why nots, don't want to, don't like it, nor bothered. So about three hows. Okay, if you've got your Bibles, go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. And I'm going to wrap this up quick because time is rapidly disappearing. Okay, rather than read it through, as we're running out of time, let's just look at some of the highlights of this part, this little story here. Elisha has been a prophet of God to the nation of Israel, and he's dying. Okay, and the king of Israel, Jehoash, has gone to see him. And you get this line, Jehoash, the king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Now notice he says the chariots and horsemen of Israel. He's not just weeping for sorrow because Elisha's dying. He's weeping and crying because he doesn't know what to do. The chariots and horsemen of Israel, the armies of Israel, what's going to happen if you die? What's going to happen when you're gone, he's saying. Elisha says, get a bow, some of the arrows, and he does. And he puts his hands on the king and he gets him to shoot out of the east window. And Elisha prophesies, you will completely destroy the Arameans who were the enemy at Aphek. Then he said, take some arrows, the ones that are left, and strike the ground. And the king strikes them three times. And then the man of God, Elisha, gets angry and says, you should have struck the ground more. Now, what's going on there, and how does this relate into three hows for us on Let God Arise? All right, you ready? Okay, the first one, the first how, if you like, or the first ways to let God arise is to stand up. He says, that's not a lot. Yeah, but you see, the king of Israel didn't. He didn't know who he was. He was weeping and blubbering because he couldn't see what was going to happen when the man of God was coming. You have the call of God, Kingdom Faith. Right. We have the call of God, Kingdom Faith. We are champions. Yeah. It's not a proud thing to say that. It's what God has done in us. We are a people with destiny.
Yeah.
We are world change agents.
Yeah.
Every single little person of us. Not because we're multi-talented. Not because we're extremely good-looking. But because Jesus has done something in us.
Yeah.
You know, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, through these baptisms here and through what I'm saying, can you see that it's not a list of rules that is about going to church? It's about a relationship with God who rises up in you and totally transforms your life. With success, with victory. Stand up. We're called to do great things in God. Yeah? We're not like everybody else. We are different. Called to be the difference that makes a difference. It's on one of our videos. Jehoash, you want to shout at him almost. You are Israel. You are the king of Israel. Stand up and be a king. You're wondering what's going to happen to the armies? Just stand at the front of them and be king. And say, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to defeat the enemy. And they will follow you. But he doesn't stand up. He's just weeping and blubbering and wondering what the enemy is going to do to him. Christians, it's not a time for don't want to, don't like it, not bothered. It's a time to stand up. And whatever the enemy may threaten, because usually it's only a threat, it doesn't even come. There's just a distant rumours of enemies in the hills that are never going to appear. Just stand up and believe it. Stand on this stuff. We can do it, church. We can really do it. This is not about waiting for something that might come. God will sovereignly move whenever he likes. But what's in us now is something to transform this nation. Okay, something to transform, bring it home a little bit, where you work. It's time to transform Barclays and NatWest and Sainsbury's and Tesco's and Marks and Spencer's and the council offices. This is not a super spiritual message of, oh, God's going to do something. This is about living it where you are. Yeah. How do you do it? You just stand up in what you've already got. And you think, I don't know if I can. Well, you'll be like Gideon, who was so frightened he was hiding in a wine press. But when he stood up, he led armies. Because he realized that there was something of the call of God on him. And it's on all of us. Not because we were special, but because he just chose us. And anybody who's here this morning who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I say to you now, he has chosen you.
That's right.
You only have to respond.
Absolutely.
You only have to let God arise, whether you know him or not.
Yep.
You've got to stand up.
Good.
Okay, the next one. You've got to stand up. You've got to grab the dream. Too many Christians lose their dreams. Too many people on the staff of Kingdom Faith, you lose your dreams.
Yep.
You get into the routine and forget the dream that God planted in you. Sometimes dreams take a long time to happen. But never, ever let go of them. Grab the dream. Elisha takes control here. He gets the king to do something. You know, he's trying to rescue the situation, really, as he's dying. And he says, right, get a bow and shoot an arrow out of the east window. You see, he says to him, look out towards the east. Look to where the sun is rising. Look to the sun. He's risen. When he reached out his arms, it wasn't because Romans were nailing him to a cross. It was because he was reaching out his arms to surrender his life that you might have life. They were arms that were open wide so that he could say, I love you. And this is what I'm doing because I love you. That's what Selmar and Josiah and Curtis was responded to. The love of God compelling them to do something that's slightly strange on a Sunday morning in a building. Grab the dream. The enemy tries to get you to lose them. Look towards the east. Look out the window. and invest. Now, one problem. You can do both of those and miss it, because it's the old revival syndrome again. You're waiting for something to happen, so you never do the now. So the third one, live the now.
Yes.
Okay? Stand up, grab the dream, but live the now. Spend a small amount of your time dreaming dreams for the future and live the now. You can't live the now if you haven't got a dream of the future, of seeing great things, but then you live the now. Okay? Verse 18, it says, then he said, this is Elisha to the king, take the rest of the arrows. And the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have completely defeated Aram and destroyed it. But now you will only defeat it three times. If you go back before that, he's already prophesied, you will completely destroy the enemy. Now he's saying, you'll only defeat it three times. You can have prophetic words spoken over your life, but if you don't grab hold of them passionately and live the now, you might never see them. You can't sit around thinking, oh, one day I'm going to see great things in God. In the meantime, I'll have another bowl of strawberries. Yeah, it's about standing up, grabbing the dream, and then living it in the now. If you have a dream to be a missionary in South America, then it's about time you learn Portuguese. Or Spanish. I do remember one person, a friend of mine, who this was in her past, but she felt she wanted to go to South America. And so she got herself ready by learning Spanish. And when she got there, she found they spoke Portuguese. So if you're going to get ready now, make sure you're doing the right getting ready. That's why you go to Rocky Place, to get trained up for the dream. Okay, but in the meantime, you live the now. As you go out on placements, live the now of those placements. Do everything that God puts in your hand. If God gives you a broom, broom, sweep passionately. If he gives you a frying pan, cook fantastic bacon. Okay, if he gives you a pen, then write the most wonderful letters that you can possibly do. If he puts a computer in front of you, then work at that computer till steam's coming out the LCD monitor. Because God gives it to you to do it passionately. And that's why the man of God, Elisha, got angry with the king. Because he said, here, I'll take these arrows and bang them on the floor. And he sort of goes, all right, okay. Now, what's God going to do? And Elisha said, if you had grabbed that word I just had from you passionately and smashed those arrows on the floor until there was nothing left, you would have completely destroyed the enemy, and you would have seen the word of God in your life completely fulfilled. But now you will only see it partially. Do you want to see the promise fulfilled in your life completely? Do you want complete victory? Do you want complete success? Then church, let's stand up, let's grab the dream and live the now. Amen. Every day counts. Every day is another day of victory in God's strength and power. It's awesome. God has given us so much. Isn't it fantastic?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it awesome?
Oh, yes.
We've got to wind up. Let's just wind up. Could you just come up and play for a minute, please, Chad? In fact, the whole team come up, but we won't be long. You saw in Josiah's baptism and Curtis's baptism and Selmar's baptism, people saying today, but they'll have to say it tomorrow, let God arise in my life. They were prepared to stand up in front of everybody and say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Because they know, whatever the cost, the benefits far outweigh. We're talking about a life knowing God, a life that makes a difference now, a life of health, of prosperity. But we're talking about answering to a God of love. There's nothing we can do to get to him. No matter how many people I get off the get up here on the platform and tell them to jump to the sound desk, nobody's going to make it. Some might make it only to the bottom step. Yeah, you can give me some inspirational music. Some might only make it to the bottom step. Some might make it to Clive's lap. but they're still nowhere near the sound desk. And it's like that with God. You can try your hardest to get to know him, but you'll never be able to jump far enough. Instead, Jesus came and he carries you by his death on the cross from these stairs to the back. You can never do it, but he has made the way. So just as we finish, if there's some of you here in this room, let's just close our eyes for a minute. If there's anybody in the room today and you realize you do want to let God arise for the first time, you've never given your life to the Lord, you realize you might not understand everything, but you want to make some steps forward today about finding out what it is to follow Jesus, you want to commit yourself to doing that, what I want you to do is sit in there, because I want to pray with you and we want to pray with you so I can see who you are. If you don't know the Lord and you want to begin the adventure, could you just raise one hand? Just raise a hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see you guys at the back down there. Is there anybody else? You three that raised your hands, what you need to do is at the end, as we just come to a close, as we close, don't spend a long time doing it, is come down the front here to this side and I'll just meet with you to pray with you. Just over here. We'll meet at the end. If you've come with somebody, let them come down with you. If you haven't come with anybody, there'll probably be somebody who's got one of our red shirts on that'll be very happy to come down the front with you. The red shirts just show to you that they're people that we trust to pray with you and minister to you. So you three people just come down the front at the end. And for the rest of us, there's no need for an altar call, because the three words were stand up, grab the dream, live the now. And coming forward to you won't make any difference this morning. Only you can decide in your heart whether that's what you want to do. Amen? Amen. I'd like to finish with something just a little bit victorious, Chad, if that's okay. And this song would be a good opportunity for you three guys to come down the front. So the command was, or the instruction of the hounds was, to stand up. So symbolically, to sing the final song, we can stand up. Now let's just worship the Lord.